Good morning and welcome to Morning Worship on this Good Friday. Wherever you're joining us from, it's good to have your company. Peace be with you. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb of God who was slain from the creation of the world, and that we received the grace that saves us before the beginning of time. That means that the cross was a done deal before God ever said, "Let there be light." And he had determined to save sinners like you and me before any sinners existed who needed to be saved. It's amazing. So as we begin our worship on this Good Friday, let's pray. The Bible says, "Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by?" Lord Jesus, we don't want your death to be nothing to us. We don't want to just pass by today. We want to pause and linger at the foot of your cross. And as we do so, please help us to see with the eyes of faith and reveal your glory to us. May we boast this and every day only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come now, Holy Spirit, and help us to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, we're lying to ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, if we're honest with ourselves and with God, if we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just. He keeps his promise and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So on this Good Friday, we're going to take a moment to seek God's forgiveness, to be honest with him about those things we know we've done and said or thought which have fallen short of the glory of God. When I say the words, "Lord, forgive us," would you respond, "Forgive us and help us"? Alone of all humankind, Jesus never did anything wrong. But some people hated him enough to plot his death. For the times we hate or lie, or think badly, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us and help us. Some people were pleased when Jesus died because it would make life more convenient. For the times when we are glad that bad things happen to others, Lord, forgive us.
Forgive us and help us.
Some people were too scared or too careless to step in and save Jesus. For times when we fail to speak out for others who are treated badly, Lord, forgive us.
Forgive us and help us.
Some people hardly noticed what was going on when Jesus was crucified. For times when we are too busy to bother with God, Lord, forgive us.
Forgive us and help us.
Amen. The Bible says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So receive these words of the assurance of God's forgiveness. May the Father forgive us by the death of his Son and strengthen us to live in the power of the Spirit all our days. Amen. So Lord, we do indeed give you praise and worship and adoration. We join our worship with that of the angels who always gaze upon the beauty of your glory in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Please do take a seat. I'm going to turn to our Bible reading, which is Mark chapter 15 and verses 21 to 41. Mark chapter 15 and verses 21 to 41. Mark picks up the story of the crucifixion as Jesus is on his way out of the city of Jerusalem to be crucified. verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard this cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger, and of Joses, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who'd come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We often tend to think of Jesus as a suffering victim on Good Friday, as the helpless victim of man's inhumanity to man. And in some senses, that is true. And yet, the Bible is clear that at every point in the process leading up to and including his death, Jesus was in control of events, in partnership with the Father. Not so much a suffering victim then, as a sovereign victor. "No one takes my life from me," says Jesus, "but I lay it down of my own accord," John chapter 10, verse 18. Or as Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, "Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, according to the will of our God and Father." This was the eternal plan of God, settled before the beginning of time and executed literally, just as God intended, outside the walls of Jerusalem in AD 33 or thereabouts. As Jesus hung there, to the naked eye, it looked as though Jesus was disarmed, made a public spectacle of, triumphed over on the cross by his enemies. He was stripped and rendered powerless. He was executed as a common criminal in a very public place with all the shame that that brought. He died, seemingly defeated and vanquished by his foes. And yet Paul writes, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. What was seen by the naked eye on that Good Friday was not what was really happening at all, if we see by the eye of faith. Jesus appeared to be disarmed by his enemies, but he was disarming them. Jesus appeared to be made a public spectacle of by his enemies, but he was making a public spectacle of them. Jesus appeared to be triumphed over by his enemies, but he was triumphing over them. And the clue to all of this is in Mark chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. Mark writes, "At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" The sixth hour was midday according to Jewish timekeeping. So the sun stopped shining at its highest and hottest point in the day, and darkness fell for 3 hours. This cosmic event fulfilled the ancient prophecy of Amos chapter 8 and verse 9. "In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight." This was a powerful sign of God's wrath if you read the context of Amos chapter 8. His just anger at human sin. So at noon on Good Friday, God is making it abundantly clear that he is angry. His wrath is being poured out because of human sin. And the shock is, it's being poured out on Jesus. Look again at verse 34. My God, why have you forsaken me?" says Jesus, quoting the early part of Psalm 22. As Jesus died on that cross, he absorbed the wrath of God, the just judgment of God for all who will humbly believe in him. As Paul says, he gave himself for our sins, Galatians 1 and verse 4. Or at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, Romans 5 and verse 6. In other words, I deserved to be on that cross for all my sin and rebellion against God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, including me and including you. But Jesus took my place, was a substitute for me, so that the wrath of God could be removed from me and I could be forgiven, reconciled to God, made a friend of God, set on a sure course for heaven. If I will humble myself before him in repentance, sorrow for my sin, and faith, believing that he did it for me. Jesus was determined to experience the full agony of our punishment on Good Friday. That's why Mark tells us he refused the first offer of wine, verse 23. "Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it." This first offer of wine was a kind of anesthetic. Wine mixed with myrrh would dull some of the agony, some of the pain of the crucifixion. But Jesus refuses to drink it. And then he accepts the second offer of wine in verse 36. "Because this wine was designed to refresh you and to keep you going a little longer." You see, there were no shortcuts for Jesus. He wanted to experience the full agony of the judgment of God for your sin and for mine. And all of this was done in partnership with God the Father. Remember Paul's words? "Christ Jesus gave himself for our sins according to the will of our God and Father," Galatians 1:4. Or, as Paul says in Romans 3:25, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for us. That's why Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane on Maundy Thursday, "Not my will, but your will be done." So this is the stunning news of the gospel. And this is why this day is called Good Friday rather than Bad Friday. This is why the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom as Jesus died in verse 38. That thick curtain, the span of a man's hand, separating the Holy of Holies where God was said to live from unholy people who came to the temple to pray and to worship. But now, as Jesus dies, the way is open for sinners like you and me to come right in to the presence of God. So here's the thing. You see, my sin, my rebellion against God messes me up. My deceit, my idolatry, my lack of love and care, every way in which I fall short of the glory of God, it makes a mess of my life. And my sin messes up the lives of others. Because when I lie to others. When I cheat others. When I refuse to tell the truth, when I'm cruel, then others are hurt by my sin. And their sin messes me up. I'm both a victim and a culprit. So everything is in a mess. But then Jesus comes. Jesus comes as the righteous one. Jesus comes and lives the kind of life that you and I were meant to live, a life of total obedience to God the Father. He dies as a sacrifice for my sin and for your sin on the cross. And so when I put my faith in him, when I humble myself, confess my sins, then Jesus cleanses me from my sin, takes my sin from me, and gives me his righteousness in its place. And then he fills me with his love, with his grace, with his power and his mercy, that I might go and share his love with people around me, and their lives may be transformed and touched by his grace. Everything is a mess, including my life and yours, but through Jesus, everything can be restored, renewed, transformed by his sheer grace. And all of that goes back to the cross. Let's just be quiet in God's presence for a moment. So let's bow our heads as we pray. Let us pray. Each time I say, "Lord, turn their mourning to dancing," would you respond, "Their sackcloth to clothes of joy." Lord of all, hear our prayer for those in sorrow or need, those whose lives are overshadowed by sickness, tragedy, worry or want. Turn their mourning to dancing, their sackcloth to clothes of joy. We think of those who are unwell, those known to us, those in hospital waiting for surgery, and those with permanent illness or disability. In a moment of silence, we lift to God the people on our hearts this Good Friday. Turn their mourning to dancing, their sackcloth to clothes of joy. We think of those who are sad today, those for whom life has brought disappointment, those hurt in relationships, and those who've lost or face losing loved ones. again in a moment of silence, lift to God those who you love and pray for today. Turn their mourning to dancing, their sackcloth to clothes of joy. We think of those who are troubled today, worried about family and friends, fearful of the future, consumed by anxiety and insecurity. Turn their mourning to dancing, their sackcloth to clothes of joy. We think of those enduring hardship, victims of famine, disaster, oppression, or war, and particularly those suffering hardship because of the coronavirus crisis, not just in this nation, but around the world. Turn their mourning to dancing, their sackcloth to clothes of joy. So, Lord of all, reach out into our bruised and bleeding world and touch the lives of all who are broken or breaking. May the light of your love shine through, bringing healing where there is disease, delight where there is dismay, peace where there is distress, and hope where there is despair. Turn their mourning into dancing, the sackcloth to clothes of joy. And so, standing at the foot of the cross, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So now may Jesus, who bore our sins on the cross, free us to serve him with joy. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon you and upon those you love and pray for this Good Friday, through this Easter weekend, and indeed forevermore. Amen. Friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.